Welcome to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If you're committed to growing your business by serving audiences with generosity and real expertise, you're in the right place. This is a daily 15-minute show featuring leaders who believe real impact comes from generosity, not hype. Which means, as a listener, you're going to get the good stuff. In fact, we created podverified.com to give thoughtful leaders like you free tools to show up better on podcast stages like this one. That includes your free PodVerified score, free PodVerified guest training, a free media kit builder, and so much more. It's the first ecosystem of its kind built by podcasters who genuinely want to help guests thrive and grow in podcasting. Visit podverify.com if you'd like to be featured as a future guest. I'm Josh Elledge. Let's get into it. With us right now, it's Jimmy Estrada. Jimmy, you are the founder, co-founder and CEO of Jayla Payments. You're on the web at jaylapayments.com. We're going to talk about your superpowers and what you've done and your longevity in this space over 13 years. We'll get to that in a moment. Jimmy, it's great to have you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for showing up in such cool studio and stuff too. Absolutely cool for those who might be seeing clips or you know, seeing this online. I think you'll appreciate the extra production that you put into this. But Jimmy, before we get started talking about Jayla, I always love hearing what, you know, high level leaders are kind of into on the outside, you know, maybe geeking out or having fun with when they're not at work. What have you been geeking out on lately?
Oh man. You know, I love playing the piano. I'm not super good at it or anything, but I think I can surprise people a little bit, right? I love playing the piano. Something that I truly enjoy. I like just hearing new tunes on the radio and try to challenge myself to play them by ear. Something I've been doing since sixth grade. Don't know how to read notes or anything, but I love the piano. Just love the piano and love the new pop songs that are out there sometimes. They're trying to match those chords and whatnot. So I love that. And I also love spending time with my girls. I mean, I got some preteens and a teen, so it's kind of difficult to drag them outside to spend time with me outdoors sometimes. Yeah. But I do enjoy hanging out with them in the beautiful state of Florida.
You know, as you're in a great place, you're in Tampa, just down the road from me. And I agree, as a dad of a daughter who is now 26 years old, I'll just tell you this, and I'm sure you've heard this. You know, I really prioritized, you know, and made sure that she and I, you know, we went to go see comedy together. We'd go see plays together. You know, I'd always try to take an interest in what she was into and, you know, just, you know, prioritize that daddy daughter time. And I'll just say, you know, now as an adult woman, you know, she often thanks me, you know, for even when she did not want to, you know, I'd kind of keep inviting her. And I'm so grateful that we made those memories together. So I just, hey, one dad to another.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much. I get excited when my daughters tell me, hey, can we go for a drive? Like, heck yeah. You know, so thank you for sharing that. Awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And agreed on creating music. I finally, a couple years ago, picked up a bass guitar. And it is one of those hobbies, you know, and again, to my other, you know, friends and leaders out there that, you know, if you need an outlet where there is no limit to where you can go with that hobby and that creative outlet, you're just... Even if you're, you know, even if you're in your 50s or 60s or whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, you can pick it up and you will be amazed at how quickly you can get competent at an instrument. And it is such a joy. You know, in 2 years now, I can play well over 100 different songs. Oh, wow. And it's just, it's so fun.
Are you taking classes or just YouTube videos?
No, I bought an e-course, beginner to badass on the bass. Okay. And that was good for maybe just the fundamentals, really just the, you know, just a lot of the 101 type stuff. But quite honestly, you know what I do is I just played along with YouTube videos and, you know, they put the tabs on the screen. And then I started moving to another program where it's just, I'm basically just doing Guitar Hero. That's all I'm doing. Get your rock awesome. Band. Yeah, that's all I do is I just kind of basically play along with the backing track and just watch the notes. And now it's just like playing Guitar Hero. If you remember back in the day.
So. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, tell us about Jayla Payments.
Oh, we've been around for 13 years. We're based here in Tampa. We used to be based in Dallas. And basically, we focus on not only saving companies and businesses money, we just go out there and educate them on how to take payments securely, compliant, and with all this up-to-date technology, just getting them set up correctly.
Okay, so I guess now I need to understand, you know, who is it that you work with? And do you then, like, so, you know, for example, like we use Stripe, you know, a lot of folks will use Stripe or something like that. Do you, would you be a replacement for Stripe or do you sit alongside them? Help me understand that word.
That's a great question. Somebody was just asking me that right before we got on. He was asking me, what about Stripe? Stripe would be like a competitor. So I think Stripe does amazing on what they do. I think Stripe is very, very good. Unfortunately, I think often that face-to-face, that person you could talk to, that person you could text or call, not just email, it's really what separates us. So often we actually could work as a Stripe, if you will, where the payment processors, whether it's e-commerce, whether it's face-to-face, whether it's card not present, that's where we come in play. And we're also able to educate the small business owners and even the enterprises on what would be the best thing for them financially. Do you pass a fee to the customers? Do you not? What are the benefits? What are some pros and cons? So we don't just set them up or sign an application. We really get to become part of their team and want to keep their culture in place throughout the whole time.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. I think, you know, our biggest complaint with using Stripe is, you know, the support is not very personal. It's, you know, very, you know, transactional. It's usually kind of hard. Like if you have an issue, you know, it's kind of hard to work with them. What would be some examples, Jimmy, where that level of support and or personal connection would be very important to have? And if you think about, you know, everything that a small business owner, a medium-sized business owner would deal with. And I know that you don't just work with SMBs. You also work with some really large, you know, kind of multi-location retailers and so forth. Well, what would be some examples where like, yeah, let me give you some examples of like how beneficial this would be to be able to work with humans on this side of things?
You know, I always use the example of the post office, FedEx and UPS. At the end of the day, you know, I could go to the post office. I could ship things out. I usually pay a little extra for the service I'm going to get with something like FedEx or UPS. So I do pay a little extra for them. What we try to do is give them that first class experience with the economy prices, if you will. I had a customer who reached out to us because Stripe had actually held, I think, $40,000. It had been 2 weeks. They had sent an email. What's going on? Why haven't I got my money? They weren't getting the responses they needed. And for us, I'm not saying that, you know, money won't be held. It all depends, right? Risk, underwriting, all those things do matter. But we're reaching out, or our customers are reaching out to us, and we're responding within 24 hours. Often it's not just by email. Email's easy for a lot of us. But imagine if $40,000 is being held. You're not wanting to email. You're wanting to pick a phone and talk to somebody. And that's what we do. So all our accounts have personal account managers that they could actually speak to. They could actually text and they could email, of course. So that's one of the stories I would give, but it's been happening often where certain verticals, certain industries, I'll use healthcare, for example, online healthcare they could sign up with something like Stripe and it could be where 2-3 months later, money's being held because they have questions about the business because the business is considered a high risk. But if you don't explain that to the customer, then just having their money held, cash flow, that becomes a problem. So we come to educate them and say, hey, if you're going to run a $40,000 transaction, and that's not what you're constantly doing, we need to communicate. You need to let us know. And they're like, oh, if somebody would have told me that, yeah, I'm game. So that's what we do. We want to educate them, letting them know that, hey, you gotta communicate that with us so we can make sure that we're getting the invoices and everything beforehand and your money's still getting back into your account the next day.
So now Jayla Payments, it's you're not the payment processor yourself, right? So you're working with, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you have partners like Authorize.net and CardPoint and other partners that Clover and some that you're working with. Can you explain how that works?
That's correct. Great question. It could be confusing for a lot of people, but at the end of the day, merchant services, there's a handful of great companies out there in the United States, for example. We only work right now primarily in the United States. We are looking to go into Canada and to Mexico. But currently right now, a company by the name of Fiserv, for example, F-I-S-E-R-V, companies like Thesis. These are huge companies out there that we have actually partnered up with. And we are the customer support. We are the ones who are providing the education. We are the ones that if you're having a chargeback, you have a question about your funding, if you're not getting your report the correct way, we're the ones that actually facilitate that. So we are the merchant services that provides that. So we partner up, as you mentioned, whether it's a Clover, maybe not everybody needs a Clover. Maybe you're in e-commerce and you say, hey, I currently have Stripe, but I got my money being held. what options do you have? And you mentioned Authorize on it. It's one of the biggest ones out there that we could actually integrate with, but there are many, many solutions out there. So we're the merchant services provider that makes sure that A, you're not on a contract. We're able to do that. Two, make sure you have transparent pricing, and then make sure you have the up-to-date technology that's needed, whether it's online, in person, sending a link or whatnot. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think the reason that a lot of maybe online retailers, like if they're operating on a platform, you know, they look at, well, what are the native integrations that are just kind of plug and play? And so, you know, so then, okay, well, Stripe is the easiest to integrate with. But, you know, maybe one objection might be, well, wait a minute, is this going to disrupt the user experience for my customers, or how easy is it to integrate with a different platform?
That's a great question. There's a lot of softwares out there. We call them ISV partners. So we currently have somebody who's working on a nonprofit organization. I can't say the name because she's still working on this. But basically, she could integrate with Stripe, but she didn't realize that we also have an API that we could just turn on and just plug in correctly for her. So the customer experience we have available, often what it is a lack of knowledge. Most people don't know that. They think Stripe's the only one. And once again, they're great at what they do. But we also have our API and others, even our competitors, there's APIs that could actually connect to these softwares and these platforms that would allow you to continue offering great service to your customer on their end. But imagine now the pricing either being better, transparent, and having that personal one. One thing I wanted to mention, we have somebody right now who we are actually the arm, the legs, if you will, of the merchant services. So our email doesn't show our name. It actually shows their company name, merchantservice@theirdomain.com. So anytime any of their customers have questions and it's in that email, it comes to us. Their customer says, oh, that's all part of the same team. So they keep all of that still with their logo, their name, but with the full support and backing that we could provide.
Yeah. Jimmy, are there... so regarding fees, how did the fees usually work out? And are there any clear examples where, you know, in addition to maybe the additional layer of support they get, where there might be a break even, or like, yeah, we're going to beat the pants off of, you know, maybe your old payment processor?
I always tell people that when it comes to like Visa, Discover, American Express, you know, the card brands, MasterCard, they have their set fees. That doesn't change. It's actually public. You could go on there and find out what their cost is. What merchant service companies usually do is they come and they, what we call the upcharge, right? Because we're the ones that are providing the next day funding. We're the ones that are providing the chargeback support. We're the ones providing, you know, underwriting risk, the onboarding. So Visa, MasterCard, all these card brands that we just mentioned, they have their costs and that doesn't change. However, I will say this. Every year we've noticed that usually in April and October, the fees just go up. The cost just goes up. So a lot of times merchants are not familiar with why is my pricing going up? It could be that the merchant service company they have is just hiking it up, or it could just be that the cost has gone up. So right now there's different models out there without boring the public here. The models out there is basically as a merchant, I pay the fee, but how much more and how much will I have to pay? That's number one. We call that interchange plus. The second model is what we call compliant surcharge. You can't do this in all the states. There's a few states that you can't do it. I won't mention all the states now just because that could change, but there are certain states that you cannot do compliant surcharge. And all that means is if I go to pay for something, I actually could pay, as a customer, could pay a 3% surcharge if I use my credit card, those reward cards, those points that we want. But if I pull out my debit card, I don't pay that surcharge. And now the merchant only pays a fee on debit cards, which is much lower. So there's a huge savings there. And then right now, I'm sure you've seen this with gas stations. You see two prices. You see the card price, the cash price. You pull over thinking that's the card price, but that's the cash price. So there's dual pricing, where in reality, you have two prices. You have the price for the cash and you have a price for the card. And that usually eliminates almost 100% for the merchant services for the merchant. But all this stuff really comes down to sitting down with the merchant, understanding their needs and explaining that to them, because people will go out there and say, oh, I could save you 80%, 90%. But who's paying the fee is a question. How do you do that by not making your customers upset as a merchant? So we're looking at every angle, not just making money and saving money. We want to also look at the customer's experience.
What are some types of business owners or leaders that they should be grabbing a call with you ASAP, because you know that there's definitely some quality of service or cost savings that you could likely work? So maybe like industries or specific types of folks that you've worked with that you just knock it out of the park with.
I would say currently we work with a lot of business to business, a lot of dealerships, attorney offices, medical clinics, steel companies. These are people who may not actually have somebody who's saying, hey, let me see your merchant statement and let me just do a free analysis, because they got nothing to lose. Imagine I say, hey, let me see what you got. Let me run through these numbers and then present it to you and say, hey, this is what you're looking at, what you could be saving. Sometimes we'll find junk fees. And I'll tell customers, you don't have to come with us. We would love to have your business, but you're still doing something what's good for your business. And we're building a relationship where you're able to say, wow, I could save this. And if you have a really good merchant service company, I say this all the time, I'm okay saying, go back to them and saying, hey, can you match this? Because if they're a really good company and they have a good relationship and they've been servicing you 5, 6, 7, 8 years, I understand why you would want to stay with them. The problem is these companies who every year they're switching merchant service company, thinking that things are going to change, when in reality, it may not until you have a solid relationship with somebody who's actually invested in the business as well as you are.
All right, Jimmy, to our friend that's listening right now, you know, let's share them maybe some next steps, either resources you'd want to direct them to, or, you know, maybe it makes sense to have a quick conversation as well, kind of figure out, you know, where their fees are and you know, what they might be able to do in terms of savings, or again, better quality service for their clients or, you know, for themselves. Yeah. So where do they go from here?
So I would say go to our website. You can just go to Jela, J-E-L-A, payments with an S at the end. .com. So jailapayments.com. You scroll all the way to the bottom. You'll see our Facebook, our Instagram, our LinkedIn. You could also contact through the website. You could just send us a quick email and we could begin a conversation. Typically what that looks like, we'll ask for maybe your latest merchant statement and we'll provide you no obligation at all. We'll provide you a free proposal for your review. If at the moment you say, hey, let's have a conversation, let's do it. The reason I say this is because your listeners and the listeners might say, I don't want to talk to him right now. That's fine. We could literally just get an email if that's something you prefer, and we'll go ahead and send you a free proposal so you could at least look at, oh, there are some savings here. Maybe just see if there's some junk fees. There's been some times I'll respond and say, you got a great rate. It's not always I say that, but there's been times I say, you got a great rate. Stay where you're at. So that's something we could definitely offer. Come to our website, go to the bottom, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, reach out to us, and we'll do our best to respond typically within 24 hours.
All right. The website, jailapayments.com, J-E-L-A, payments.com. Jimmy Estrada, again, co-founder, CEO. Congratulations on a lot of longevity in the space. So over 13 years. And, you know, on your website, you've over 10,000 merchants that you've worked with throughout the years, including some pretty big names, a lot of car dealerships, a lot of people doing a lot of volume. So Jimmy Estrada, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I hope you have a great day. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If your goal is to grow your business, increase revenue, and build authority without gimmicks, this show is designed for you. Each episode gives you practical insight from leaders who have turned trust and credibility into real business results. If you value short, thoughtful conversations that respect your time, make sure you're subscribed. We publish daily 15-minute episodes focused on growth that actually compounds. And if you're interested in being a guest or you want to turn podcast appearances into measurable business growth, visit podverified.com. You can start for free with your PodVerified score, along with free podcast guest training and a free media kit builder. These tools are built to help you get booked on better shows, deliver stronger interviews, and convert audience trust into revenue. No more desperate sales. You truly can enjoy all the business you like by generously sharing your wisdom. Everything we offer is built by podcasters for guests with a focus on trust, organic growth, and long-term business success. Thanks again for spending your time with us. I'll see you next time.